Caller, if you'd be so kind as to do the roll call, please.
Sure. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. We have apologies from Dev, Michelle, Tony, and Avery today. Give me one moment for the other staff. Yes, on the call we have Carlton. I'm sorry, I don't have the list with me. The complete list. I have Rafik, Carlton, Cheryl, Tijani, Alex, Sintra, John, Seth. From staff, we have Seth, Gisela, myself, Carla, Wendy, Kurt, Chris. We also have Sebastian, not from staff, but we also have Sebastian Bachelet, Olivier, and Eric.
Thank you, Carla. Thank you for everybody for joining for today's call. Okay, for the agenda, we have the same items, but unfortunately, Avery is not here for the first one. And I think maybe if Carlton confirmed that, maybe we can have a discussion about the financial criteria, as there is ongoing discussion on the mailing list. Is it okay? Does it make sense? Okay. Just for remind, if you have any update in your SOI, please send it to Glenn or Gisela. Okay. Starting with the first item, as I said, unfortunately, Avery is not here, and he sent a really short update saying there was no comment about the funding model, funds, and the process aspect. So maybe Carlton can give some updates. Carlton? I'm still in the call or not?
Yes, you are.
I'm on the call. Are you hearing me?
We are now,
Carlton. Oh, okay. Thank you very much, Rafik. Yes, I just wanted to point out to there's been, in the last little while, some more discussions in this area on the list. Just for members who have not seen it, there have been really two substantive issues. The first one is the question of fee offset and the its relationship to the $2 million board fund that was voted by the board. The early discussion is very clear that there seems to be most people think that fee offset and those two are separate items and should not be joined together. There's another issue that a couple of members feel that we should also be very strong in the report that we see fee reduction as one of the main ways that we could substantively help any would-be applicants. And we should do so in light of the GAC resolution, as well as the board resolution accepting the GAC concerns, and that's something that they should look at. So the folks who did say something about that was very high on that. And then the question of the administrative expenses. There was mentioned that we should be very strong in ensuring that the administrative expenses for the program would not be taken from either the board funds or any funds that would be donated to support applicants. This is what the general discussion is about. Members may have other things that they would wish to say. Thank you, Rafik.
Thank you, Carson. Thank you for the summary. I think we will have some question to answer, but I don't see any hand raised yet. Any comments? Any question? Okay, Alan, please go ahead.
Yeah. Regarding the who pays the administrative costs, my question, I wasn't really making a statement, although I also obviously have an opinion. I was asking a question from staff of where are these funds, where is the administrative cost coming from? ICANN has made a strong statement all along saying this is a cost recovery program. And if this is being absorbed, I think it should be said, if it's going to come out of the $2 million, and I recall there was also a $50,000 allocated a while ago, which may or may not be separate, but that's not going to go very far. I think it's a simple statement. We should be getting an answer from ICANN. If they say yes, it's coming out of the $2 million, then we have something to say. If they say no, we never intended it to come out of the $2 million, you know, then we don't have to go on a campaign and make a strong statement about it. So first and foremost, it was a question to staff on how is that going to be handled. And
I can't put my hand up there because it's Kurt.
Go ahead.
Hey, Anna.
So Alan, you're talking about the administrative costs for running the process to allocate the $2 million seed fund plus whatever other contributions come in there?
Yep. Essentially, the whole process we're describing here, who's paying for it?
The whole application support process. And, Kurt, can you yell at us? Because it's really hard to hear you. At
yeah,
Cheryl, for the record.
Yep. So I think it's a mixed bag. I think that we want to design the process to be inexpensive as possible. So we want to, I would strive for volunteer. I think the bulk of the costs would be in personnel costs unless we get volunteers to administer the process for us, which is, one of the goals here. So that would address most of the costs. The rest of the costs, I think, to a certain extent, are a mixed bag. To the extent that the cost can be some of the processing tasks can be administered by ICANN staff as part of a system that already uses existing systems or the like. I think that cost can be absorbed in ICANN. To the extent that there's real direct costs from outside of ICANN, I think those costs would have to be absorbed by the program. I think we have to do a little, I think one, they'd be fairly low, and two is, I think we'll need to do an estimate of them, and, when we look at them, then we could say something like, oh, ICANN could handle those costs. We can add them in, or we can't absorb those costs. We have to absorb them with the program. So I don't think the answer is certain. I'm certain that we should strive for volunteers to do the evaluation, and we should strive to keep the costs low and know that ICANN can provide some services. you know, especially if it's provided by existing staff or something like that, because it's essentially a one-time effort for the round, you know, okay. Some administrative staff or something like that.
So you're just for clarification, you're saying you're willing to have volunteers be part of the evaluation process, which will likely be going on, in other words, looking at applications while the process is going on.
For a long
time. Which I thought were going to be kept confidential.
Mm. Fraught with danger.
No, they'd have to, you know, sign an NDA and...
Okay.
I mean, we can.
I'm not objecting to it. I just want to make sure we're clear.
Yeah, it's sort of a balancing for you guys, right? Because to have paid evaluators, I think will be expensive, and at the end you'd have, you know, I can argue both sides of it, but one argument is at the end you have mercenaries, right? So who are probably less passionate about the mission of the program and willing to, you know, care more about following the wants of the program rather than who's paid. So, you know, I think it's a balancing that we have to look at.
I guess I question whether we're going to find volunteers who are skilled at evaluating financial documents and understanding is there someone gaming and playing games here, or for that matter evaluating business plans to see if they're viable and are really likely to be proposing something which is worthy of support because it's going to has a chance of lasting. Both of those are things that I'm not sure our volunteer community is going to have in spades, other than the people who are also competing for applications. So,
you know, that may be right. So when we were sitting around the table talking about this, you guys might hate this metaphor, but I was thinking about when I applied to college and I was applying for financial aid. So, you know, I applied to different places. So I applied to New York State, who, you know, I had to write down my income, my parents' income, everybody's income in the whole world I knew, you know, attach tax forms. And they went through a very careful analysis and made an award based on need and combination of need and, you know, some good performance in school that was a predictor of success. And then I applied for this other scholarship that was just, that was sponsored by guys from the school, and they had gotten together to form a foundation and put money in the foundation, and we all sent in our essay questions, and they read our essay questions, and, you know, the first cut is you come to a room, and it's full of these guys that care deeply about it, and they ask you a number of questions about yourself, and they look at your application, and the interview takes about an hour, and then those guys get together and they say, okay, how should we give out our money? And, you know, I think maybe it wasn't perfect, but I bet you it was, you know, pretty close to perfect, or, you know, 95%. And so this model can be, this model can be either very rigorous and tight and expensive, I think, or it can be, you know, people try, you know, a number of people who care deeply about the process trying to help others that need it and make, you know, smart people that make good judgments based on interviews and paperwork, and they'll get, you know, 95% of it. And at the end, I think the very rigorous process probably costs a lot. And the process that's more colloquial costs very little, but at the end gives away money, you know, almost every time to somebody who deserves it.
You seem to have generated a lot of interest, including from me, but I'll let other people put their hands up first talk. Who's running the meeting? Sorry, I came in late. Is it Rafiq or Carlton?
Okay, thank you, Alan. Yeah, we have Sebastian Shuril, and you want to comment too, Alan? Because
yes,
I saw your hand.
I can go first if you want. Kurt, what you've just described as the latter suggestion would be my choice. However, it is completely subjective and will be subject to extreme criticism by the people who don't get their application supported which is not an issue in the scholarship situation. So I wonder whether ICANN is really willing to take the heat on having completely subjective and, you know, subject to bias, criticism, but bias, things like that, based on who the evaluators are. In terms of success, I think you're right. But it goes against almost everything that we've been talking about as being a core principle.
So I was highly critical when I didn't get the scholarship at the end.
Well, yes, but you could only criticize people who said it's our money and you have no reason to criticize us. ICANN is a little bit more public, and the people whose money does go into it, even if it's not their own money originally, will be more sensitive to criticism than these people.
Yeah, so I think, right. So you're right, and I don't think it's I don't think it's completely subjective. I think there's a lot of objective, a lot of objective aspects to it. You know, where the application is coming from, what type of application it is that you could choose to support. So there are, but you're right. So that's why, at this stage, this is we had several staff meetings on this and talked about it for quite a while, all with the idea of getting the most money possible. This whole idea is with getting the most money possible into the applicant's hands.
Mm-hmm.
So, I was certainly not going to settle in at this meeting. It was just when we developed this flowchart, we might talk about later. This was an idea we developed.
Right.
So,
I've dominated the conversation. I'll yield at this point.
Certainly, your concerns are valid and should be discussed.
Okay, thank you, guys. But let's Sebastian and Cheryl comment, and then we go back. Sebastian, are you here?
Thank you, Rafik. I wanted just to highlight that there is one other split in the discussion we may take care of. It's when part of this evaluation that the Jazz Group want to be done prior to distributing fund will be done again, and it's not needed to be done again, but when the evaluation for the application, and to not spend twice first, and if it's cover on the evaluation, then it could be cover in this advance work done for the needy applicant. Thank you.
Thank you, Sebastian. Yeah, Celia, please go ahead.
Thank you, Rafik, Cheryl Langdon, all for the transcript record. A couple of points which may not be all that minor. This conversation is timely, but I'm not sure that it's timely enough. A number of these seemingly interesting logistics need to be sorted out in fairly short order for a couple of reasons. First of all, it impinges on the work product the JIS work group actually has and has committed itself to produce for the board and for the rest of the ICANN community. So we need to somehow sort these things out in some form of synchrony. But secondly, regardless of how they're sorted out, and a volunteer or pro bono model is certainly one way that one can get more resources with less infrastructure and administrative costs. But it needs to be, I think, well established the nature of that in advance of things such as ICANN looking towards seeking any matching funds. Because if that is the model that we will be going down, if the model is a at arm's length from ICANN, predominantly volunteer based on community who are knowledgeable and experienced within the wonderful world of ICANN and GTLDs, you have to be very careful that potential competing interests are looked at and watched very, very carefully, along with the usual confidentiality, or perhaps more than the usual confidentiality issues need to be addressed. But also it may be either attractive or essential for someone who was going to contribute to said pot of funds to know that they have the opportunity, if not the mandate or requirement, to offer some pro bono interest or at least watching brief on such a volunteer evaluation group. So delighted to have the conversation. Just wish we were having it, really before Brussels, but certainly shortly after Nairobi would have been live. Thank you.
Thank you, Shail. Alan, so I don't think that you raised your hand, but just do you want to comment, or then we can ask Kurt if you want to reply.
No, I wasn't commenting. I was just supporting what Cheryl said, and this is an awful lot late time to be introducing that concept, but I guess better late than never. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Kurt, any comment to you, or you want to add additional comment? Or?
Well, I think that I understand Sebastian's comment. We certainly don't want to do the same evaluation twice. And I think one of the things we'll have to talk about now in the future is when that evaluation can take place. I don't think say financial information or financial check or background check can actually occur before we start accepting applications. So I think that, you know, we have to talk about this in more detail. I think the evaluation for award has to take place, and then the award given, and then the application made for the TLD. So there's some back and forth issues there that have to be discussed. And certainly I understand Cheryl's comment, and I don't know which would be faster to spin up and put in place a pro bono panel, or a paid for panel. But you know, there's just a ton of work to do.
Thank you, Kurt. Is there any further comment or question?
Rafiq, it's Alan. Is Tijani on the call? He's not on Adobe.
I think so. He is in the call. He should be, but...
I am on the call.
He was the one, or you were the one, who was talking very much about objective criteria.
Yes.
And what we're talking about now perhaps is going very far from that. And I'm wondering what your thoughts are.
Mm. Yes. Thank you. May I? Rafiq, may I?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Alan. I still think that without objective criteria, we may have the goal or the aim of this program out of the not reached, if you want. If we use only the subjective criteria, the subjective evaluation, we may have complacence. We may have anything, because there is not something which is objective that you can lay on. So I read what you wrote about it, and I think that we need to put some objective elements that we have to use, and to so that we can filter the applicants. And then we use the subjective evaluation, as you said, and as we all agreed. So I think without objective criteria, we will be lost.
And my question was, can we come up with subjective criteria? If you look at the example, which we're not using anymore, but it was there for a while, of we said any if you have any more than $100,000 a year of revenue, it's too much, and any less than $70,000 is too less, is too little to be for your process, your TLD to be sustainable. That's a very, very tiny window.
Yeah, I know.
And almost nobody would fit into that and would have to somehow juggle their books to make it look that way. Otherwise, they would be eliminated before one could look at any of the subjective issues. And I understand we eliminated that one already, but in the back of my mind, I keep on thinking that no matter what criteria we pick, it's going to be subject to that kind of thing. That whole one assumed there was a concept of profit, whereas I think a lot of us are assuming that most of the needy applicants we're looking at are not going to be for-profit organizations, and there isn't even a concept of for-profit. So that's why I worry that by saying there needs to be an objective one which will result in a go-no-go decision, almost not appealable, that we're setting ourselves up for not meeting the real end need, purpose that we were put here to do. And my concern is, can we or anybody come up with those objective criteria, which we're going to be willing to live with for the wide range of types of applicants that we think might be coming here? Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Alan. I do think that my concern is that nobody tried to find other than what was done, what was given. You are right that the window was very tight, and perhaps we will reject a lot of people from the process. But it was those figures was given as an example. There was not other examples given, and it's a problem. And if this manner of objective evaluation is not the right one, why don't find others? I said in one of my emails that if we are not able to find, we have to find who can give us this kind of objective criteria. It is not up to ICANN to do so. It's up to the working group to do so. And we together have to try to find how to define objective criteria that will lead to a fair system. Don't forget, Alan, that this program was ordered by the board, by the Resolution 20, to make the system, the new TLD program, inclusive, and to include the developing countries inside this program. So if we don't use objective criteria, we may fall in a case where there is only developed countries applying for the new TLDs. Okay. So that is my problem.
Yeah. Rafiq, can I have a very quick answer before you go to the queue?
Yeah, we have a quite long queue.
Yeah, no, very, very quick. Tijani, I don't disagree with you in concept, but the kind of criteria you're talking about, I think, are the ones that we will not be able to do by volunteers, and we'll have to go outsource, and we'll probably have to outsource the development of the criteria and then the evaluation of them, and then we're talking money, which is what generated the question to begin with. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. So we have Carlton. Carlton, please go ahead.
Thank you, Rafiq. I just want to point out two things. I don't know if anybody is reading what Eric said to me, but he was mentioning, referring to Kurt's example of somebody. And if you notice the process that Kurt was, which is what I think Eric picked up on, is that it assumes there's objective criteria as well as subjective criteria. The objective criteria is contained in the tax forms and so on and so on, and the subjective criteria in the essay. To me, that's how I interpret it, and I thought it was an interesting observation from Eric. Here's the other thing that triggered in me. It triggers a kind of approach that might be culturally very restrictive and limiting, and it gets right back into the argument that Alan was making. that the objective criteria that you develop, if you can't find them now and you're going to beat the bushes for somebody to bring them up, there may be a real danger, as Alan is consistently pointing out, that to the detriment of every applicant, you come up with some that are not fungible. And this is what I am getting from the discussion, and perhaps we could go back to that.
Thank you, Carlton. So we have Olivier and then Kurt. Olivier?
Thank you very much, Rafik. Olivier Crépin-Leblanc for the Transcript Records. I just wanted to support Tijani's view that objective and subjective criteria are required, especially if volunteers are going to take on the task of evaluating the applications. Imagine having 2,000 applications coming in. Are you expecting each one of these 2,000 applications to be looked at without having a first filter that will filter out those that do not fit a specific set of criteria? Because to me, it looks like the only thing to do, first you filter out what's not going to fit within the goal, and then afterwards you start looking at it in a deeper way. But there needs to be a filter there. Thank you.
Thank you, Olivier. Kurt, please go ahead.
Thank you. Yeah, this is Kurt Fritz. So I was going to say the same thing as the last two speakers, that use of volunteers, if it can be done, does not preclude the development of objective criteria. And I think you need that for the reasons Olivier stated, and, we can develop those. And I think also that some subjective criteria will be required to keep the program flexible to meet the goals of the program, and that is to, award funds to deserving applicants, and their situations will be different from applicant to applicant. You want to be able to accommodate them. But I don't think the use of volunteers precludes the use of objective criteria. My final point is what is important, whether using objective or subjective criteria, is clearly to say what your process is and then follow that process every time. So that's your defense. That's your defense of competence, that here's the process we wrote, we published, we listened to you, and now we're following that process every single time.
Thank you, Kurt. I saw the hand of Carlton raised. Carlton, you want to comment?
No, I'm sorry. Put me down there, Rafik. Everybody
okay,
else
thanks.
Can go. Thanks.
Okay. So we have Andrew and then Chloe in the queue. I think I will put myself too. Andrew, please go ahead.
Yes, Andrew back for the transcript. Thank you, Rafik, and thanks for everyone. My apologies for being a little bit late. I was stuck at a doctor's appointment. What it strikes me is that I think we have some important lessons to have been learned from this long jazz process about both the benefits of and the limitations to an all-volunteer army. And I would like to suggest that for a whole host of reasons, not the least of which is the other, things that go on in people's lives and work responsibilities and such, that the ideal group to work on to move this forward is probably a combination of staff and volunteers, or a combination of an outsourced professional entity and volunteers. The volunteers will give us the authenticity and the connection to this program that I think we need, but there are clearly certain kinds of expertise that we don't have, and frankly, it's just a question of time in my mind. I'd like to spend more on this, and I just don't have enough time right now. But to an earlier point about whether or not we can and can create objective criteria, I know we've struggled with that. I think that we want a combination of objective and subjective criteria. So I'm agreeing, I guess, with Tijani and to some extent with Kurt, if I understood correctly. I do think that the fact that we've had trouble finding the right objective criteria doesn't mean we should stop trying. I just think that perhaps we need to get some more hands-on and perhaps some people who have professional expertise specifically in this that will help us move that process forward. But it strikes me that the middle ground, that having volunteers and professional staff or and expert staff, as well as having objective and subjective, it makes sense. Thanks.
Thank you, Andrew. Shireen?
Thank you very much, Rafiq. Cheryl Langdonor for the transcript record. Kurt, I'll address this to you, but it's really more wide than just you, but I think you can be the message carrier to where it needs to go in this case. To some extent, Sebastian may pick this up as well. I'd be very keen for informal, if not formal, feedback to the JAS work group as it is in the pointy end of its work under some fairly tight guidelines. Will it be, as you can hear, there's a great deal of support and enthusiasm for a subjective-objective mix, and these are certain pathways we've been down before, but will it be appropriate in this much look forward to and rather important report we're all trying to write and waiting to read, for us to make statements like upper and lower financial thresholds need to be set, blah, 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 or is this going to be produced, go through the torturous events of getting it onto agendas at Dakar for whomever, to then say, well, gee, thank you very much, community. It was a lovely exercise. We've done lip service to making this thing fair and level playing field on the first round for needy applicants, so that box gets ticked, but we have to punt it back over the fence and say, well, we didn't have enough details, and it's a sort of detail that apparently the community couldn't come up with, and we don't have time, we being whoever it is, insert part thereof of ICANN, to do it, so there we go. I'm not just playing the devil's advocate. We've seen things like this happen before. We've mentioned that criteria in our first milestone needed to be very particular, and the response was, well, off you go, children, and come back with fully fleshed out criteria. So before volunteers start going down this pathway, it would be nice to perhaps have, not necessarily at this call, some indication back to the worthiness of the pathway, at least to the, if not the chartering organisation leads, then the two co-chairs of the work group. So I think whoever wants to take that as a question on notice probably should take it as a question on notice. Thank you.
Cheryl and Chairman, this is Kurt. Can I respond?
Okay, yeah, please.
Okay. Thanks for your question, Cheryl. I think there's several answers to it. One is, I certainly know the board and the GAC, but especially the board was very forceful in their statement that they wanted something in place for this round. So I think, this is my personal opinion, but I think that there's a low likelihood their answer is going to be to punt something back in a way that it can't be resolved in time. I think that the board is looking for, or me, are looking to the JAS first and foremost for criteria that would be applied to applicants. So the extent to which criteria can be, cut and pasted into the process would be, with the least amount of additional work or discussion would be most appreciated. Material that is most likely to get amended, if it is, that's furnished by the JAS, is sort of logistical or operational details of how the process runs, that, there's certain constraints, either legally, how I can set up an entity to handle money, or how funds are earmarked, or at what time they flow, or who they flow to, and how the ICANN, how it affects, how the whole thing affects the ICANN budget. you know, the board would probably weigh in on those aspects.
Mm-hmm.
Is more likely to, but I kind of think that's the roadmap for what's expected and how it's going to be treated. But that's, as I said, that's me talking.
Thanks.
I don't know if that's helpful or not.
It is indeed.
Thank you, Kurt. Thank you, Joel. We have Eric and Alan and TJ. Eric, please go ahead.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, good. Eric Brunner-Williams for the record. Kurt, I have a question for you, if I may, and that is one of the problems that exists with attempting to approach the problem of evaluating applicants or applications through their financial representations is that applicants as legal entities are likely to be formed for the specific purpose of providing a vehicle for the application and have little in the way of prior existence that can be documented. This, however, is not a condition that's unique to potential JAS qualified or qualifying applicants, but rather is general to all applicants. Some arbitrarily wealthy applicants will have been formed as legal entities the day prior to or some few days prior to the application being submitted. How is ICANN, or what steps is ICANN planning to make to look into the provenience of the application, the financials disclosure requirements, if any, of the applicants? And I think I'll stop there and let you try and figure out what I'm actually asking.
Do you mean during the evaluation process where we're evaluating whether they have the financial wherewithal to operate a registry?
Yeah, that is one of the evaluation steps.
Yeah, so I think that, given my limited ability to recall, each applicant must show the source of revenue and how funds are going to be distributed. So revenue may come, and it's meant to accommodate many different models. You can't name them all. You named a couple, but revenue might come from a parent organization, or it might come from income from sales of domain names. It might come from sales of a side business that's been profitable over the years. So, or, it might just come from a parent organization that's decided to earmark, a few million dollars and put it in an account, and that they demonstrate to ICANN that account's locked away, so it'll be secure for the applicant. So what's important to the application is demonstrating that there's, revenue available in a secure form that, depending on the size of the business model, you say, would be adequate to support the business model. And it doesn't really depend on a how, just on a competent showing. It doesn't presuppose a model. It just requires a competent showing of how.
Thank you, Kurt. So we have Alan and TJ in the queue, and I think 70 minutes in this call. Okay, Alan?
Yeah, thank you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, Kurt, that last answer, I don't object to it, but I'm not sure that meets the criteria for objective that we have been using, that is specific numbers which can be tested without bias to see, whereas you're talking about essentially about a viable and believable business plan, which perhaps includes some money set aside, or perhaps says we expect a revenue stream and that revenue stream is believable. I'm happy with that, but I'm not sure that meets the criteria for objective that we have been talking about in this call, or not in this call, but in this group. And the question I was going to ask when I raised my hand, it was the same one as Cheryl asked, except she asked it far more politely. And the way I would have phrased it, and I will now, is ICANN willing to accept a statement from the jazz group saying there must be specific hard financial criteria, but we haven't been able to develop them, therefore ICANN, it's your job in your implementation plan to develop them or to outsource the development of. I understand you far prefer us to do it, which was what your answer said, but my question is not, do you prefer us to do it, but are you going to be able to function if we don't do it?
I think,
thank you.
So this is Kurt. It's very hard, or it's very difficult, I'll be blunt. It's very hard to fashion objective criteria, and I can outsource the development of objective criteria for the guidebook and spend some significant money on trying to do that. And at the end of the day, we have in the guidebook less than objective criteria. We don't say you need $500,000 in the bank that can't be touched. We say, you know, what's your business model? How much is it going to cost to, furnish the equipment and the people? And, you know, what do you expect to get out of that? So how are you going to cover your costs? So rather it lets the applicant show that it has a model where it has a sufficient income or revenue or funds at its disposal to supply an operation of that size. So it's meant to accommodate, you know, the small community TLD, and it's meant to accommodate the large, dot com like registry. So I think at the end of the day, ICANN will help furnish, develop criteria, or, you know, work. You know, we can start now working together in a working group developing criteria rather than make it serial. But I think at the end of the day, it's not going to be, 100% objective criteria, or else my personal advice is you're going to miss out on some of the objectives to achieve.
Hello?
Kurt's still on the line, but...
Okay.
Somebody.
I guess we lost someone. Okay.
As long as it wasn't Kurt mid-sentence, that was all.
Yeah, that's right. I slammed my phone down.
Now? No hissy fits. Oh, it's Carlton. We've
okay.
lost the coach here.
Okay. So we have Steve, Jenny, and Andrew in the queue. Jenny?
Thank you. Kurt, we are not looking for 100% objective criteria. We are looking after objective criteria. So we know that there is no 100% objective. We know it. But at least we need to have objective criteria. I think that we have, perhaps this group have to look to try to find help, for example, from the World Bank or from the IDRC, who are potential donor, potential founder. I am sure they have expertise in such criteria development. So, or any other agency that have expertise in this matter. So we need to look, we need to do something. If we always say we are not able to do so and it is not possible to have objective criteria, we will not have them. But we have to try. And even if we try to, if we find a private company, a private agency who can help in this matter, we can ask ICANN to pay for it.
Yeah, so I would... If you think that you want to start iterating a model with some staff members as a subgroup or as a group, we could start that now. And
in advance of the final report, and also if that subgroup decides it needs to reach out to someone with more expertise in this area, it could do so.
Very well. It's very well. I agree.
Okay. We still have Andrew and Alex in the queue, and maybe Temit in this call, and we didn't cover the last items. So, Andrew, can you hear me?
Yes, Rafiq, thank you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, please go ahead.
Okay, thank you, Andrew Mack, for the transcript. Look, I'm hearing two separate things that I think we want to distinguish between, and both of which we need to solve for. The first is the political question that I think that Cheryl and others have brought up, which is, if we're going to move forward with these criteria, we want to make sure that this is taken seriously and that our efforts are not wasted. This is a big task, and I think that part of what we're looking for in terms of having some version of ICANN on the hook for this is that they don't do what Cheryl mentioned, just give us a pat on the head and said, thank you very much, now we'll go ahead and take these and use them in a different way. I'm not trying to be blunt at all. I don't think there's any malice in that. I just think that that's sometimes the way it feels, and we're concerned that if we work really, really hard on these, that they may or may not be useful. And the second question is about the question of expertise. And there is objectively some expertise that would be helpful in doing anything related to these objective criteria. I don't think we in the working group have some of that. I don't know if staff has that or not, and I'm not sure whether discussing that with staff is the solution or not. It totally depends on the specific expertise that the staff has. So Johnny made a good point that there's expertise in other places. Having worked at the World Bank and having spoken with them, I don't know if they have expertise enough that's enough related to this world that they would be the right people, but there may be others. So I'd like to distinguish between those two things. I think the way that we go forward on the political side and what, you know, how we interact with ICANN on that is important, and then which pieces of expertise we get is a separate issue. Thanks.
Thank you, Andrew. Alex?
Yeah, thank you, Alex Gakuru, for the transcript. Thank you, Kat, and thank you, Tijani, for the contributions. And I think in this mixed bag, what we do need is a sort of a middle ground resolution so that we can move forward, which obviously we all agree should be combination of objective and subjective criteria. Now, looking at the objective criteria we can develop, would put a proposal on the chat, which would be where applicants first of all submit a light concept note of what they intend to do, so that the 1,000-plus possibility of applicants coming in, as Olivier said, we have a way of finding out whether this meets the very basic objectives of this program. That will save them submitting financial information and a lot of details, which is what happens when you're applying for funding to development agencies and even when you're submitting a concept paper for publishing before you embark on the meat of it, writing it. It will then therefore reduce the ones that outright don't meet the criteria or the objective of Resolution 20, what the GAC also resolved in the report, and of course JAS reports since we got formed. So it's a proposal that sort of marries the two so that we don't oscillate between the two extremes of objective on one end and the other one subjective on the other, and then we get stuck in the oscillation on the motion there. Thank you.
Thank you, Alex. Jerry?
Thank you. Kurt, I have another question for you. Several aspects of the application are easier to accomplish from within what I think of as the dollar Delaware bubble, that is, within the dollar economy and within the Delaware law form of corporations. Applicants which are located in developing economies have less access to the conveniences of North American corporations and dollar economies. How can we provide assistance which is, or has staff considered relaxing some of the conditions which are, for want of a better word, North American-centric in the assumption of the answer provided to reduce the invisible cost to applicants which are located outside of the developing economies?
Mm-hmm.
And if you need me to follow up, I'll be happy to attempt to. Thank you.
Good question.
So, again, I'm having to recall. I know that in the formulation of the question, this point was considered and a great deal of effort was put into it. And my recollection is, you know, there's terms like or equivalent, or there was a survey done about how these questions were done in different regions of the world so that they could be responded to. So certainly we would still respond to specific requests where questions are onerous because of geographic region. I can just say that a lot of attention was paid to it when we wrote the when we wrote the questions to allow for multiple forms of answering the questions. But if there's specific instances where the questions are onerous, we need to point those out and make sure that we're not creating some situation where it costs an applicant in one region much more to apply than in another.
Thank you, Kurt.
Adam?
Yeah, I just wanted to support what Andrew said on what happens in the real world of donors out there. I have participated in a number of evaluations of should we fund or should we not fund this, which is essentially equivalent to what we're talking about here. And to the extent that I participated, and it's non-trivial, it's subjective. It's does your, you know, you can certainly use absolute criteria and numeric criteria that they give you, but in the end, the go, no-go decision is very much a subjective one. Of do you feel that all of the things to put together map to a project which should be funded or not? And I'm not convinced we're going to, no matter how much we work on it or even pay for it, we're going to have any real objective criteria that can be used in a go, no-go decision. Are we going to ask for specific information? Yes. But should we be using it as a filter? I'm far from convinced at this point, and I'm hearing that from a number of other people. Thank you.
Thank you, Adam.
Okay.
Yeah, we have Crew and Kurt. Shirin?
Thanks, Rafiq. Cheryl Langdonell for the transcript record. Just picking up on Alan's filter point just made, that's incredibly important because what we need to make sure we remember we are doing is setting up a set of criteria and capabilities of sifting applicants who can be shown to be needy of applicant support under the guidelines we've established. They then enter the same evaluation filter as everyone else. They shouldn't be being evaluated on those criteria twice. So we need to look at what we are filtering or otherwise for. So just be very cautious that we don't start mixing what happens once a applicant becomes an applicant and is being evaluated, and what our role is, which is finding mechanisms, methodologies, and facilitation modalities to allow applicants who otherwise could not afford to become applicants to do so. Thank you.
Thank you, Shreel. Kurt?
Well,
Yes, this is Kurt. Complete non sequitur to what Cheryl Langdonor was saying. We've been talking about who to get involved on the team writing criteria that has expertise. Perhaps we could just find other foundations, we could have staff members do research into what their criteria. Once identified, we could have staff members do research into what their criteria is and what criteria they use to make awards. So I'm not from this area at all, and not familiar with what foundations might exist. But as a first step, if anybody does know of foundations, we could let staff know, and staff could do some research. Or, you know, I'll take it back to see who might be knowledgeable that we have on staff, or we might know where we could look up criteria. Certainly, I'm going to take the floor for the last time. So certainly, one offer coming out of this meeting would be to convene a group to take the criteria written to date and provide some staff help and advice. And if the group decides, get outside help and advice to work on making the criteria more specific.
That is a round of applause from me for you, Kurt, by the way.
Thank you, Kurt. We have Alan in the queue and also running outside. Yeah, Alan, please go
ahead.
Thank
you, Kurt. I couldn't applaud without losing my hand, so I do too, and the faster the better we do that, the better we're off. I have a question for Olivier. You put in the chat objective criteria, which is just rolled off so I can't read it. Objective criteria as a filter, as a first filter, yes. As a no-go final decision, no. I find those two opposites. If you're using it as a filter, then if you do not meet the objective criteria, you don't get past that stage to the next one. So you are using it as a go, no-go decision, not in the final decision, but as the intermediate one to filter out the parts you don't want, the ones you don't want. So either we are using it as an unquestioning filter to reject people, or we're not. So that's the question I have. I have no problem using them as part of evaluation, but if we say we're filtering on it, that implies rejection of those who don't meet it. Am I misunderstanding what you're saying?
May I answer?
I would hope so.
Yes, you can.
Thank you very much, Rafik. Olivier, for the record. I'm mentioning a filter because I'm putting myself in the situation where we imagine that every single applicant for the new GTLD applications asks for financial support through this program. You are going to require some filter to be able to say no, yes or no to start with as a first wave, because otherwise I don't see why anyone should not apply for financial support, and the whole system will break down if you need to look at each file in such depth that you need to evaluate absolutely everything without having objective criteria.
Okay, so you're willing to accept an objective criteria of more than $3 million profit a year as the criteria. If you're above it, we reject you absolutely. And if you're below, we go through the less objective criteria.
That could be.
I'm happy
that
with that.
It could definitely be something like this. I'm not saying that it's going to be an objective criteria that needs to be so tight. And that's always the concern I had about objective criteria. If it's too tight, it's going to keep too many applicants out. So it needs to be a basic objective criteria that's going to be wide enough to allow enough applicants. But at the same time, it's going to be taking out the obvious players that don't qualify at all, even at first glance.
If that's what Tijani means, then we're all agreeing with each other, but that was far from clear, but I'll let other people speak.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alan and Olivier. We have Sébastien, Tijani, and Andrew. And
I will ask people, maybe people won't like it, but I will ask people to keep their comments short because we are really running out of time. Sebastian, please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. I would like to be sure that at the end we find candidates who are really needy applicant. And when I say needy applicant, as the example taken earlier about someone or an organization set up for this purpose will not show any figures. And if we are asking for figures, except we'll have a business plan, but a business plan, you write one, I can write one, and on the same subject, and it's not at all the same. Then the people who will evaluate will have some trouble with that. Because I will not put name, but even in a developing country, if you set up a not-for-profit organization today, you can't apply for a new GTLD. And that's a pity, but that's even more a pity if it's from a developing country. And really, we have to find a way to help those projects to be set up. If the criteria, the objective one, it's that it's come from developing country, and you have a long list of already objective criteria, then I am sure that you can manage to use objective and non-objective criteria to solve that. And to answer a question earlier by Cheryl, I have the feeling that the board is really willing to have a report that it's implementable by this jazz group. It's one of the reasons we discussed that even yesterday in our board meeting, and we really want to be sure that you have the help you need to have, and I know that both Rod and Kurt has really committed for that, and hope you will be able to finalize your report by the right time, and it will be implementable and used by ICANN. Thank you.
Thank you, Sebastian. Jenny?
Very short. Alan, you said that you don't want objective criteria because it there will be decision. But go-not-go decision will be done on subjective criteria if you don't use the objective criteria. So it will be go-not-go. Second point, the rejection. Even if you don't use objective criteria, there will be a rejection because you will not be able to support all the applicants. So, what is better, to reject people on an objective evaluation or a subjective evaluation? I am an engineer. That's perhaps why I don't understand you. Thank you.
Okay, Andrew, and then. Alan. Andrew?
Okay. Thanks. Andrew Mack, Tajani, I respect and understand your engineering background and the place that it brings you into the conversation. I think what I'm hearing from others, and I am agreeing with them, that it's just, unfortunately, it's just not as simple as all that. If you think about a series of concrete examples of the way in which this is likely to happen, Eric made a very good point earlier in the conversation, which is the best possible structure for a whole host of reasons, including probably the best possible structure for a community to set this up, is likely to be a newly formed entity, a single-purpose vehicle like what might be the equivalent of an LLC in the United States. And if that's the case, they would set it up for this purpose, and so that entity itself would have no track record. I see it, though we might want to have some sort of a hard and fast objective financial criteria that says you are in the gate or you are out of the gate, I think that may in the end be unpractical. And I think that, yes, you're absolutely right. We do need to, can't support everybody, but I think having just one financial number, it just isn't going to happen because they're not necessarily queer or comparable items, and in its own way, this may be something that could be manipulated by a potential applicant. If I have the choice of applying as myself or applying as a shell company with no assets, which would qualify more easily, or a new NGO, obviously I'm going to apply as the new entity. So I guess I'm leaning more in Alan's direction in the sense that it just may not be possible to have, it probably isn't desirable to have just a hard and fast number. Thanks.
Thank you, Andrew. I think we are going to finish with Alan. Alan,
I'm really not trying to get the last word in, but I'll be very brief. So there's I support what Andrew has said. I'm afraid that if we use objective criteria, they will either exclude large numbers of really viable, really good applicants, or will be the kind that I was referring to in the discussion with Olivier and have no teeth whatsoever and will only serve to reject people who would be rejected by any sane, rational, subjective evaluator. That is, you have oodles of money pouring out of your pores, and it's clear you don't need our help. As much as I love the idea of objective criteria, unless someone can start proposing them, I think we're going to have a real problem. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. I think that we reached the end of this call for today. And I do think that this discussion will continue on the mailing list. Is there any further comment or question?
It's Alan. I'll just point out that I asked some other questions in my comment. We spent a lot of time talking about this one, but if people can address some of the other questions and other issues, it would be appreciated if I could produce a document which is going to be helpful to us. Thank you.
I'm not sure, Alan. Do you want to send those comments again in the mailing list or to continue?
I sent it about 8 hours ago. I don't think it's neat to send it again.
I responded, Alan. Did you receive my response?
An email? I haven't looked this morning, sorry.
Okay.
It's still early here.
We don't all have the same clock.
And it's late here, so... Okay, I think Eric wants to make a comment. Eric?
Thank you, Rafiq. Just to the members of the group that I'll be sending out mail with... a draft for the registry services platform proposal and the registrar support proposal for discussion to the mailing list. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Eric. When you will do that, today or in the weekend?
I think I'll get it done today, but I'll proofread it before I send it out, so probably on Saturday. Thank you for asking, Rafiq.
Thank you. Thank you. Is there any further comment? Any other business? Okay. Moving on, this call is adjourned for today, and thank you for everybody for joining in this really interesting discussion. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.